Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, July 22nd, 2012. This is episode 894. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. From Citrix, of course. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial right now at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TECH. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, and we're ready. We're ready to talk about technology. Computers, of course, cell phones, best little computer a guy ever had or gal, in your pocket, tablets. We can talk about the internet, we can talk about home theater, digital photography, anything with a chip in it, I'm up. I'm game, I'm ready. Let me give you the phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO, and all your answers are available at techguylabs.com, absolutely free. No charge for anything I do here. I know that's somewhat unusual, but that's how we do it. No charge. The advertisers pay. I like that. Wow. What a week this was. Yahoo scores a very good new CEO. Yahoo's been struggling. Their fifth CEO this year, in the year 2011-2012. Fifth. That's always a bad sign with a company. But this time they got a good one, a keeper. Marissa Mayer, who is one of the best-known faces at Google for years, 20th engineer, 20th employee. Very smart, very aggressive, very young, 37 years old. So she's going to bring a lot of energy to trying to save this internet legend. I'm glad to see it, Yahoo. Microsoft, kind of a surprise, had its first loss in its history as a public company. But there was a good reason for it, and you probably shouldn't ascribe too much to it. As it's not, as some thought, oh, it's the beginning of the end for my, far from it. Microsoft did something kind of dumb a few years ago. We've all done something kind of dumb in our youth. Something that you pay for later, you regret. And in this case, they were bidding actively for an online advertising company called DoubleClick and lost to Google. And it kind of freaked them out. And this happens from time to time. You'll see people in the tech industry. I suppose it happens in all industries, but I'm familiar with the tech industry. You'll see people in the tech industry react with... Not a lot of thought, you know? You could call it a knee-jerk reaction. You know when the doctor hits your knee with that rubber hammer and whether you wish or not, it goes boing? This was kind of that kind of knee-jerk reaction to the loss of DoubleClick. They went out and they found another company that does something similar, not a very well-known company, called Aquantiv. And they paid $6 billion for it. When a company the size of Microsoft has a knee-jerk reaction, it's kind of like the Hulk having a knee-jerk reaction. It goes and goes and goes. So Microsoft finally admitted a few years later this year. They said, you know, that wasn't. We got nothing out of that. So they did something called a write-down, which is that for tax reasons, you write it down, you say, we took a loss, and that helps you with your taxes. But, of course, you have to report it on your quarterly earnings, and this week Microsoft said, well, yeah, when you take the write-down for Aquantiv into consideration, despite the fact that we had a good year and made lots of money, revenues of, this is in 3 months, $18 billion, wow, up 4% from the year before. Operating income down 97%. And that's the write-off. In fact, if you don't have the Aquantiv $6 billion write-up, operating income was up 7%. $6.9 billion. I'm sorry, 11%. So it's a little hard to read these numbers, but you'll see the headline. Microsoft loses money for the first time ever. I think it was, what, $192 million? But it wasn't for anything real. It was just admitting a mistake, taking a write-down so they could take some tax gains, benefits, and moving on. And that's kind of the way business works sometimes. And when you're that big, you know, you can do that. The real question is, how will Microsoft do in the next quarter? And not even really the next quarter, but the quarter after that. Because the next version of Windows, we now know, is coming out October, was it 26th? Late October. That's huge. That means that's when they start selling like crazy, like hotcakes. And, of course, it's big for the computer industry, too. That's what manufacturers wait for, because Windows users tend to buy new computers when the new operating system comes out, no sooner. They don't want to do an upgrade. So they're right now, everybody knows Windows 8's coming. So you'll probably see this summer a real tank in computer sales as people wait for Windows 8. And Microsoft even said, we expect to sell something like 500 million copies in the first year. I mean, they expect this to be a huge hit. It almost always is. It's just kind of built in if you're Microsoft and Windows. They have also announced this week a brand new Office 2013, which is quite impressive in some ways. It's designed to work particularly well with Windows 8, but it'll work with previous versions of Windows. They'll probably make a ton of money from upgrades on that. Unknown and probably a continuing loss, though, things like their online services. They lose money every year, hundreds of millions every year on Bing, their search engine, mostly because they spend that money on marketing. They lose money on or barely make money on Xbox. That was a very expensive project to design the Xbox. They're supposedly going to announce a new one in the next year, in June, the Xbox 720. We don't know what it'll be called, but that will be big. I think that a loss of $192 million and looking ahead to next quarter and the quarter after, big, big gains, I think they're going to do fine. They've got these Surface tablets. Of course, there are those, and I've been among that chorus, who say, well, Microsoft's really in trouble because Windows 8 is such a change. And I don't know if you've played with it yet, but it really is a dramatic change. It's the first time Windows has looked really different since Windows 95. It's been a long time. So this will all be very interesting over the next year or so. As it's hard if you're a tech company, especially because the world moves so fast in technology. It's hard to stay on top. You know, IBM couldn't do it. IBM was dominant in the 60s. Couldn't do it. Now they're just kind of a nice company, not a bad company. They're very nice. Not important, but very nice. And Intel's starting to struggle against these ARM chips because computing's changing from desktop and laptop to mobile, tablet, and cell phone. Companies like Nokia and RIM, which dominated smartphones, are struggling against the new upstarts of Apple, Samsung. It's a very interesting world we live in. It moves kind of, you know, it's like one of those sped up movies, you know, where the sun comes, rises, and sets in a few seconds. We're kind of technology. Compared to the normal business cycle and normal businesses, technology is like that sped up world. It just, things happen so fast. And that's kind of why I like it. But I understand it could be confusing. Now, there's a lot of talk about how much money Marissa Meyer is going to get to be the CEO at Yahoo. It's not, you know, when he had it all up, it's not that unusual. They say $61 million. She's worth, first of all, she didn't do this because she didn't move from Google to Yahoo for the money. She's worth $300 million. That's, you know, that's enough for a lifetime or two or three or four or five. Well invested, her great-great-great-great-grandchildren will never need for anything. She's going to get an annual salary of $1 million, but eligible for bonuses if she performs. Of $2 million or even more. She's going to get $12 million in stock and options, but that's over 3 years. You know, those are retention grants. The idea, and this happens all the time, especially in the tech industry, you give the new CEO options, but they have to stick around to get them. And she negotiated a deal to get a one-time only $14 million payment on taking this job. That's a nice bonus. That's a nice bonus. And that was because that was stock she left on the table at Google. But that's also spread out over 2.5 years. So she's doing all right, but she didn't do this for the money. And I think anybody who's on the board at Yahoo or a Yahoo investor should be applauding loudly. She was a good deal. All right, 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. Let's talk right after this. Hey, real quickly, I want to talk about... Not go to assist. I want to talk about...
Go to meeting.
Yes. Summertime's here. People going on vacation. They're all over the place. Online meeting software is critical. It's key. It's so useful. It's funny. As Padre SJ is still in our chat room, the folks at Citrix were talking to him. He knows all about it. Uses it all the time, I gather. That's awesome. That's a good vote from somebody who really knows all the choices in the enterprise space. GoToMeeting was originally screen sharing. Then they added this HD Faces, and now I tell you, it's spectacular way to teleconference and meeting together. Visit GoToMeeting.com. You can find out more about their capabilities. Allow you to create a meeting on your Mac or your PC. Join a meeting from an iPad. In fact, use the camera and the mic and the speakers on the iPad to actually be in the meeting. You don't need a phone line. And they can see you and you can see them. I mean, it's just incredible. Want you to try GoToMeeting absolutely free. All you got to do is go to the website, GoToMeeting.com. In fact, let's do it right now. GoToMeeting.com. See that orange try it free button right there. You click that. And there's a link when you fill in your name and address. There's an email address. There's a link for promo code. Click that link and use the offer code TECH, if you would, the promo code TECH. That way we get credit. TECH. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free for 30 days. Offer code TECH. Show your boss, show your clients, show your colleagues. I think they'll agree it's a really great way to meet online. And now with the HD Faces, you don't even need the screen sharing, right? It's just now it's just a great way to teleconference. All you need is a camera and a click, and you're going. GoToMeeting.com. Use the offer code, promo code TECH. TECH.
Into the house.
A neon glamour race.
Wrecking the town with the power of a bull.
Ain't no monster clown who is as lovable
as ever loving hope.
A little physics song, I guess, huh? Haven't heard that one before. That's Kyle Benham, our musical director, and we put all of the songs that he picks, he puts them on his Google Plus playlist, and we put it on our show notes. Show notes page, techguylabs.com. All your answers are there, everything you need to know, including a link to the chat room, which is a very useful place to go to get more information. Previous show notes, 894 episodes strong. We got a lot up there right now. And we're migrating it all bit by bit, inch by inch. We're migrating it all over to the new server and should have that online. I'm hoping by next week. That's my secret goal. TechGuyLabs.com. Just one more week left on the old site. Yeah, you could see the new... Okay, is it safe? I don't know if I should send people to the new site yet. Let's not. If you're in the chat room... EK, just put it in the chat room. You can look at it there. Phone number is 888-827-5536, 8888-ASK-LEO. And if you're outside the U.S., you can't call that because it's a toll-free number in the U.S. only. But don't worry, never fear. Never fear, my friends. Just use that Skype out thingamajig, and you'll be able to call me and reach me, and it'll cost you nothing. Our first call of the day is from Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hello, Dave, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. Thank you very much for taking the call.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, my daughter's going away to college, Eastern Illinois.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
Yeah. And she got a Mac Pro, and we got to get her a printer. And I want to be able to try to do it wirelessly. So,
in general, they'll have... Oh, well, I don't know. You'll have to call them, but most dorms have printers.
Okay.
On the wireless network, so you don't need to bring a printer. But I would check. Is she going to stay in the dorms?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would check and make sure, because it'd be silly to bring a printer if she can access a better, bigger one, a faster one in the dorm. On the other hand, a wireless printer certainly is convenient. You know, she can do stuff locally. I like the Canon Pixmas a lot. They're inexpensive. And, if she's going to print hundreds and hundreds of pages, it's going to cost her a lot for that ink.
Probably not.
Yeah. So the Canon Pixma is easy to set up. It's Wi-Fi. It's kind of multifunction, which is nice. That means you can both print, but you could also do copies, which could be handy for her, not to have to go to the library, things like that.
Now, when you talk about Wi-Fi, though, is she's just going to, if they've got a Wi-Fi network, will we be able to hook that printer up to
yeah.
do that?
Yeah, she'll join. Well, again, this is a call for the IT people. A lot of times what they do, and this is kind of silly, but they do it, is that you have to register your laptop with the IT people. They get what's called the MAC address, a unique number attached to that laptop, and say only these MAC addresses could join the network. If they do that, you'll have to do that with the printer as well, and they may say, no, you can't.
So, well, how about Bluetooth?
The truth is she's going to print probably sitting right next to it, so USB would probably be fine. And what, she wants to be able to print across the room?
I don't know. I'm just a tech guy.
Yeah, I don't think wireless, if you're in the same room, is really that useful.
Okay.
So she could just get an inexpensive. And by the way, all the printers that are Wi-Fi enabled or wireless enabled also will work with a USB port. A Bluetooth printer, that's an interesting idea. Let me see.
I mean, there are some out there.
Yeah, I haven't used any.
Okay.
So let me look real quickly and see what brands. My favorite printer company is Epson. I really like both the lasers that they offer and the inkjets, and they're fairly affordable when it comes to ink. That can be really an issue with ink.
Sure.
Yeah, but
sure.
You don't want her to have to pay for her roommate's printing and so forth. I would check and make sure that the dorm doesn't have a printer in each hallway.
Can I ask you a quick question about
sure.
Tablets?
Yeah.
I was looking at the Google tablet you talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
The Galaxy tablet, the 7-inch one.
Yep.
And then also the iTouch. And I'm just having a hard time because the wife and my daughter, they have iPhones and iPads.
Well, one reason to stay in the i world is because you bought a lot of apps already. And so an iPod Touch in that case would be able to use those apps. You wouldn't have to buy them again as long as you're all on the same network. On the other hand, the Google 7-inch Google Nexus is less than an iPod Touch. $200 for 8 gigs and $250 for 16 gigs. And much less than the Samsung Galaxy 7-inch. And I like it better. I think that, to me, I mean, you want to be a little different from your wife and daughter, go out and get a Nexus 7. But now you're Android, you have to get new apps and all of that stuff.
And can I still do, like, Skype with the iPhone?
All the same stuff. Yeah, you can't do FaceTime. That's Apple only. So if they use FaceTime, you'll have to get an Apple. Now, remember, there are strong rumors that Apple's doing a 7-inch tablet.
I saw that.
Yeah, in the fall. But those are rumors only. Apple does not pre-announce. We don't know with pricing. We don't know anything about it. I would figure it will be a little more than the Nexus 7, but not too much more because Apple doesn't need to hit, you know, nail the low price, but they do need to get close enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can get a refurb iTouch for $170.
I like the iPod Touch. How big is the storage on that?
It was just an 8 gig, but you know, I don't.
The camera in there is not good. Well, on the other hand, there's no back camera on the Nexus 7, so. I think an iPod Touch is not a bad way to go. What is it that you want to do? You want to be able to do Skype calls?
Yeah, I'd like to do that because I travel a lot for work.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be able to hook up to them.
I think you'd like the Nexus 7. I'd really look at that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like that. I think that's the nicest tablet out there. It even competes well with the iPad. The iPad's the champagne of tablets, but it's $500. Now, one issue, and this is actually something you should keep in mind, Dave, neither an iPod Touch nor the Nexus 7 has 3G. They're both Wi-Fi devices. So, and you know, you're going to have to figure out some way to connect if you're on the road. That would be a compelling argument for a 3G-enabled device. Verizon sells at a much higher price, almost twice as much, more than twice as much, sells a Galaxy 7.7-inch tablet with Verizon 3G and 4G. And that might be a better choice for you if you're on the road or an iPad. The funny thing is that the Samsung Galaxy Nexus, I'm sorry, the Galaxy 7.7 tablet is actually more than an iPad, isn't it? Not with 3G. It's in the same ballpark. It's expensive. If you really want 3G or 4G, I think an iPad's probably the best choice there, especially since your wife and daughter already have them. You already have the apps and all of that. John in Oxnard, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, John.
Oh, hi. Thank you for talking to me.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. There wouldn't be much of a show if I just had to talk for 3 hours. Oh, man.
I have a Generation 1 iPad and then the new one. Both are telephone enabled.
Mm-hmm.
And an iPhone 4.
Okay.
This morning, and I've had AOL, the one you pay for since 1994 or something like that. Anyway, this morning I got up and generally I grab whatever is available to check my email. And I get a message that says, cannot get mail. The username or password for imap.aol.com is incorrect.
That's a little scary. Hang on a second. We got to take a break. Maybe we can help you. Is AOL still in business? Really? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The tech guy here. Talking about computers and the internet and cell phones and camcorders and all that stuff. And we've been talking with John from Oxnard. He's using AOL Mail. And all of a sudden, on any of his devices, he can't log in. That's scary, isn't it, John? It sounds like almost like somebody might have changed your password.
Well, the first thing I did was go into my AOL account and set a fresh password.
Good.
And I can pop in and out of AOL on the computer.
So it's just the email.
It's just the Apple devices, and I plugged that exact phrase into Google, and of course there's a million different, actually people have had this problem, but some people say reboot your router, some people say switch it to, switch off your Wi-Fi and do it through your 4G, delete the app from your device.
Yeah, these are all just kind of standard recommendations. For a while, the iPads did have trouble with Wi-Fi. But they fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're seeing is probably older stuff that are around there.
What are
you using when you connect to the AOL? You're using your browser, Safari, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And wow, that's really interesting. I don't know. So you change your password, and the new password doesn't work either.
No, the new password works fine on the computer, but it does not work. It gives me the same message, and I took AOL off of my iPhone, and of course now I can't reinstall it because it says I don't have a password. So I feel like I'm sinking further into this hole, and I asked somebody about it.
Yeah, somebody in our chat room says AOL stands for always offline. I don't know if that's right, but. Boy, I'm not sure why. I can't be much help, John, unfortunately, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm not familiar with a global problem people are having. It's certainly not. I think it might be AOL. I think it might be AOL. I wonder if they changed something on their servers, perhaps. I think a call to AOL is in order. There is no, to my knowledge, there's no issue with AOL and iDevices. Mark in Tustin, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, also ports.
Also ports.
Ports and SSL.
Yes.
I have to help people with that because it's what I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the other thing to try.
Yeah, but why would I can't imagine why that would suddenly change. Maybe his internet service provider changed the permissions.
Yeah, I mean, if he's using port 25 and his service provider decided to start blocking port 25.
Lots of them do. You know, that's an outbound port, though, not an inbound port. Lots of them do that because they don't want you sending spam. But
yep.
I don't know, I don't know. AOL, I don't know. You never know with something like AOL. That's such an obsolete service.
No, I know. Hey, I got an iPad yesterday.
Good.
And I didn't realize how emotional I'd get about it because...
Are you crying?
I mean, I've got 4 monitors on my desk and 3 computers. And I have 2. I mean, it's not like I'm not around that stuff all the time. But man, it's like just holding it in your hand.
It's pretty amazing. In fact, when I first held an iPad 3 years ago, my immediate reaction is this is the future of computing. You know, this is something straight out of a science fiction novel.
Yep. So I have 3 questions about it. They're quick.
Okay.
One is, you know, a stand for it. If I want to do, like, videos for, I'm going to do basic videos for, you know, how to set up your computer. And I thought I'd just use, that's one of the reasons I got the iPad.
It's got a nice camera, yeah. I mean, so you want to use it as a video camera, but you need something to hold it. And most of the stands that I know of don't, the angle is not appropriate for video because they're, so you can look at it, so they're angled towards you. I would look at, there's a company called Thought Out that makes iPad stands, thoughtout.biz. Let me just see it. They make all kinds of stands, and I think that they make, yeah, they do. They make one that you can adjust. So there's a lot of stands that are fixed, right? The right. angle is such that it's for reading. But they make something called the Stabil Coil Pro, which is basically a coiled tube that the iPad goes on that can be arranged in any way.
Cool.
They also have a tripod head. So Thought Out, thoughtout.biz.
Okay. And then I've got a Mac Mini. It's got the, what is it, Snow Leopard, because, you know, that, to me, Lion isn't, it has all has some problems. But if I want to do thing, help customers with things like iCloud, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you have to go. I would wait. Might as well wait at this point. July 25th, we're going to see Mountain Lion. Might as well just make the move.
Okay. And the last thing is I work on this database web building software called Alpha, and all their videos are Flash. Is there a way to convert so I can put them on the iPad and look at them when I'm, you know.
Yeah, so most of the times inside, Flash is just an envelope. For a video file format, it really gives you a player. It's like a player that comes with the video inside of it. It's a standalone player. So if you can just download those Flash videos, that's the first step. How do I get them on a hard drive? If you can download them, then usually you can extract, and usually it's a H.264 video in there, which means it'll play just fine on the iPad. If not, then you'll need some sort of conversion program, and there are quite a few. Can you get it down to your hard drive, or are you only looking at it on the web?
They give them to you. It's
on a disk.
So, yeah, they have no problem letting you download them.
Yeah. There used to be a really great program for converting video to iPhone style. And it's went out of business, and I don't know if there's been a replacement for it. Let me look for a little bit, and I'm sure the chat room can help you. We need to find a program that'll take Flash files. Is there SWF files?
hold on. I'll
probably are. That's all right. It's not important. They're Flash files, probably SWF. Will Handbrake read those? If Handbrake will read them, that's a great thing to do. Handbrake.fr. It's free.
Right. I haven't. My Mac and my PC, so I'll
give
use that.
If it'll read the Flash files, then you're golden.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, one more thing. When you let people, I'm not trying to get you to say my website, I don't need it, but when you give out people's websites, it's actually cool because for people like us who are working on stuff, it's nice to hear other people being successful and trying and working.
I agree. I know sometimes people will say, people call in just to get their site plugged. I don't mind that. I think, everybody's trying to make it these days.
Right. Well, you were lamenting it for a while because, I mean, I listened
to
a lot.
Well, what I really hate is if somebody makes up something just to get their plug.
Right.
Right.
I understand. All right. As always, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I know, and I appreciate the feedback on that. But what if somebody's making up a kind of a Fakatka question just to get on the air with a plug, they're wasting my time. They're wasting your time as a listener. That's not so good. But if you call up and you want to talk about something and it's a legitimate conversation, you know, you're trying to figure out, I have video on my site and I want to convert it so that other people can see it. We talk about that and then you want to plug your site. I have no problem with that. Just let's, my goal is not to waste our fabulous audience's time. Of course, I'm good at that by myself. Alan in Fullerton, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Leo. We're having a problem with our camera. We're trying to communicate with it. We just went out and bought a Mac desktop.
Okay.
And we got Final Cut Pro, and we have a Panasonic DVX 100B camera. And we're trying to communicate with Final Cut Pro, and it's not working. It's not communicating with
it. Hang on the line. We got to take a break. I can tell you what to try when we return. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
I get a feeling that I never, never, never.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. Alan in Fullerton, videographer. He's got a nice camera. I was looking at your Panasonic. It's a nice camera. Uses P2 memory, right?
Yes.
So it has a FireWire port, and in fact, supposedly shouldn't have any trouble communicating with Final Cut. What happens?
Okay, well, what happened was, okay, so we got the new, we got the a new Mac.
Oh, you have no FireWire.
No, we got the FireWire.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and in fact, we hooked up an older camera that we Sony, and it communicated just fine. And then so we took it over to we took it over to the Mac store, and they tried to hook up the camera to the one of their Macs in the store, and it didn't communicate with that either. So I'm pretty sure it's a camera issue. So we're trying to get
That's frustrating. Yeah, you know, are you using the FireWire port on the camera?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it happens. I hate to say this, but I've seen it happen many times. FireWire, it has power on one of the lines, and if you flip the cable by accident and jam it in, you can actually short it. And if you've shorted the chip on the camera, you're really in trouble. So that camera just doesn't work on any computer.
Yeah, but the thing is, the camera's working fine otherwise, and it shoots really good video.
Yeah, sure. It's probably the FireWire port on the camera, though. So now you can pull the P2 memory and use a reader. Can't you do that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to get some ideas now.
Yeah, I think here's the issue. It's probable that, it sounds to me that, and I'm sure the Apple guys said this, that the FireWire, that's a, you know, just like on a computer, that is a chip that's connected to the FireWire port that got shorted or damaged. And so it's not working.
You're talking about in the camera, right?
Because you tried the camera wisely with different cables on different computers, right?
Right.
So it's not the cable, it's not the computer. So now my issue is it seems likely that somehow that's shorted out the FireWire port, so you can't use that anymore. But that camera does use P2 cards, I believe. Oh, wait a minute. Now, somebody's saying JoJo. Now, this may be a manual thing. You may want to read the manual. Not JoJo's saying make sure you enable mounting on the camera memory, a camera menu. That's interesting. So a lot of cameras, you just plug them in. You launch Final Cut. It sees the camera. You can control the camera from Final Cut, rewind, fast forward, play, and import. But apparently, in this case, it's you got to make sure you enable make it mountable in the camera menu. So make sure you've done that. And if it still doesn't work, it is app as Father Robert Ballister in our chat room is telling me, Padre SJ. FireWire ports are notoriously easy to short. I know that. I've seen it happen. If that's the case, then you can get a memory card reader for the P2 card. There's a card in that camera. You could pop it out, plug it into the memory card reader, just as you would out of a digital camera of any kind, and you should be able to read it. So those are the two possibilities. If you have shorted that port, it's hopeless. You know, it's too expensive to fix that. But you want to make sure JoJo's got a really good point. He says make sure you enable that capability, that mountable capability in the camera's menu. It doesn't work out of the box. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Joe in Florida is our next caller. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome to the show. This is video file day. It seems like we got a theme going.
Yep.
You got a corrupt QuickTime file. Is that right?
Yeah, I did a video of my son making a speech about 4 years ago and tried to open it the other day when I refound it. And Windows Media Player tries to run it because I'm on Windows. And it says it doesn't recognize the file format. And QuickTime gives me a 2048 error, but it won't open it either. It's definitely a .mov file.
First thing to try right away, and everybody should have this. In fact, Windows or Mac, you just download it even if you have no reason to because it's free, is a thing called VLC, Video LAN Client. It's from VideoLAN, VideoLAN.org.
Got it.
And that is a really useful little player that will play a lot of videos that don't, you know, play in any other way, Windows or Mac. They've right. got lots of codecs that are not typical. Now, it's not specifically designed to recover corrupt QuickTime files. There are programs that do this.
Right.
But I would first try it in VLC because it may just be the headers screwed up and VLC will just ignore that.
Right. I just tried I tried VLC and it's not working.
No. And I know you really want this, don't you?
Now, there are these services online and they say that they'll fix .movs and they charge $40 per video.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. Now, there are free programs. There's you're on a Windows machine though, huh?
Yep. Also, can use a Mac.
If you can find a Mac.
Yeah, I have a Mac.
Yeah, HD Video Repair from GRAUOnline.de. Always work on a copy of this, by the way. You know,
yeah.
don't touch the original.
About 27 copies already.
Yeah. Oh, was it a high school speech, college speech? What was the...
Junior high school. He won an award.
Oh, yeah, you really don't want to lose those.
You know, if you look at it in Windows Explorer, it doesn't even show it as a... It's got a .mov, and it says it's a QuickTime, but you look at the icon, and it really looks like a music file in the icon.
That doesn't mean anything. That's just Explorer being confused.
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. What happens is there's the video, there's the data, and then there's a header file on that.
Right.
And sometimes that header file gets damaged. Or if the file itself gets damaged and there's stuff missing, what you need is something that can kind of say, well, I don't need that. I'm just going to play it, but brute force. Sometimes VLC would do that. This one's free. It's from GRAUOnline.de, and it's an MPEG-4 repair program. Well, it's free for the first half, and that the nice thing about that, you could see if it works at all.
Yep.
And then you might have to pay them. I hate that when they do this. Yeah, you might have to pay. That's trialware. So it'll say, well, I can see, here's the first half. You want more? But I think if you knew that it was going to get the whole thing, you'd pay for it.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the problem, is I hate to try these services, and there's no guarantee. And it's not expensive. It's €29. It's not really expensive.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Hey, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe. I'm sorry I hate to hear that. That's, by the way, a good argument for backups, right? Because files do get damaged. And J.C. Calhoun says, yeah, this program is made in Germany. The Germans make great stuff. So, yeah, that's going to be good. Jeff in Anaheim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, yeah, hi. I have a question about the new iPad and photos. So my father-in-law, turning 70, this month, we got him an iPad,
nice.
And he's all excited. He's been. We even got him a new scanner that he's scanning in old slides.
Oh, this
and
is great! I love that. That's
stuff
great.
Like that. And yeah. But he doesn't own a computer, and so the problem is, if he takes pictures with another camera, if he scans in his slides, and he scans in his negatives with this machine we got him, it's great. They're on a on a flash card or whatever you call it. We stick it into the iPad and he can...
Hold on a second. We got to take a break. Hang on. We'll complete this in a minute. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. And it's time to talk tech. Yeah, well, that's what the tech guy would talk about. If I were the flower guy, it might be another thing. This is the show where we talk about computers, cell phones, home theater. We talk a lot about video today. Getting video files into and out of. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's the phone number if you want to call. Anywhere from the U.S., that's toll-free. Outside the U.S., you can call toll-free numbers with Skype out. It won't cost you anything. So just use Skype to call that number. 888-827-5536. Jeff in Anaheim's on the line. And this is a kind of something we're going to hear probably a lot more of. We are in, after all, the post-PC era. Dad, who's in his 70s, doesn't have a computer. He has an iPad, but he's having a great time scanning in his slides, taking pictures. And, Jeff, I take it he's able to get him into the computer, right?
Well, yeah, he's able to get him into the iPad, from taking pictures from, that scanner that we have, or just from a regular...
How's he getting him in? Did he get the camera connection kit? Or?
Yeah, he's got the camera connection
kit.
You know, takes out the chip and shoves it in there, and it's no problem. I thought it was a simple, question, but apparently it's not. So here are the curveballs. He doesn't have a computer, so that, it's difficult to do things there. There are plenty of apps that I've found out that you can download for the iPad that you can upload pictures to print, online. Because we don't want...
You're saying the issue is he's got the pictures in the iPad. He wants to print them.
But yeah, but not from an ink-based printer at home. You want to order them.
He wants
from
to get the prints. Oh yeah, there's a dozen ways to do this. So I'll point you in some directions. There's a company called Sincerely.
Okay.
Sincerely.com/ink that makes apps, lots of them, for the iPhone and the iPad for printing. And they do some neat stuff. For instance, they will send cards. They will print postcards or regular greeting cards. Apple, of course, has its own card app that you could use cards. But I like Sincerely. I've used a lot of their different apps. So that's a dozen of them. Then there's a great company called Smug Mug. And
right.
They have an app that, or you could just upload it to the Smug Mug site. This is a company that really caters. It's kind of like Flickr. You're probably familiar with Flickr, photo sharing site.
Smug Mug before.
Yeah. So Smug Mug will do very high quality prints. The pros use Smug Mug.
Right.
I use Smug Mug. That's where I put my pictures. And if you go on a Smug Mug, you can order very high quality professional style printing in anything from a 4x5 to a 19x14 print. I mean, you can. They have everything, and they have mouse pads and all that stuff.
Well, let me ask a question of clarity, because I found plenty of apps, including, I think, the Smug Mug one. I don't remember if I've tried that one. But what the problem seems to be is that I can upload as many photos as I want that I've taken with my iPad or his iPad. The problem is when you import them, I haven't found any apps that allow you to access the photos that you've imported for whatever.
Ah, I see what you're saying. So you need to get them to the camera roll. That's where the apps are. All of the apps are finding their images is on the camera roll.
Right. And so I don't know how to either put them into the camera roll or have the iPad access the photos that he's imported. I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't.
How's he importing them? If he's importing them, he should be importing them into the camera roll. Is he using some other application?
No, he's just using the camera connection kit, and he sticks the card in, and then it just, you know, you select the photos that you want to import, and you hit import. We're not using a third-party app or anything else, just whatever natively comes up when you stick in the connection.
That's what's supposed to happen. The camera connection kit's supposed to import the pictures to the camera roll.
Right.
So I'm not sure why not. You know, you might want to get him anyway. I think it's $5, the iPhoto app for the iPad. Does he have that yet?
Right. No, I've been looking at that.
Oh,
but, you
is
know,
that
when I read
great?
The description of it, it didn't go into detail about that being an option. But well, then again, I haven't found any other people that seem to have this.
No, you're in an unusual situation because it's supposed to go right to the camera roll, and to my knowledge, it does. iPhoto's worth buying, though, on the iPad for the retouching that he does, for messing around with the pictures. And it will, what it does is it will keep its own albums, but then export. It can't export into the camera roll. I really like iPhoto, and it works directly with the camera connection kit as well.
Okay, I'll get that, and I'll try Smug Mug. But
I would look at your camera roll. If he's importing them, they should show up in the camera roll. You're saying they're not there?
No, they're there. Like, I can view them on the iPad in the camera roll, you know, where it says photos and, you know, using that app. But then the problem is, you know, I've downloaded 6 or 7 different apps that you can, quote unquote, upload your photos to order prints online. And the only folder or whatever you want to call it that shows up is the photos that he's taken physically with his iPad using that camera. None of the photos that he's imported using the camera reader thing show up at all.
I don't have my iPad here, so I can't verify it. But
it's kind of weird.
It's pretty much that's how it's supposed to work. The camera roll is the camera roll.
I would agree.
His memory's not full, is it?
No, not even close. You know, like if I took one photo, I used the camera import thing, I saved it onto the iPad, and then I tried to upload one photo using any of these apps. Probably, I don't remember if I've tried Smug Mug, but any of the other things, you know, Ritz camera, you know, Walmart, Costco, any of those things, it just won't allow me to access the photo that I've imported.
One more suggestion, and this one's from the chat room, and it's probably a good idea. I've not tried this, but it's a program called Awesome Files. It's for the iPad and iPhone. It's available in the App Store, and the idea is you can use this to move photos around to get your photos from one place to another. See, an iPad is designed – this is kind of ironic because, you know, the idea is this is designed to just work, right? Isn't that what Apple says? It just works. And so your father shouldn't be having any difficulty. He should just – it should all be intuitive. It just works. And of course, the problem is when it doesn't just work, it makes you want to throw the iPad across the room because there's no, you know, there's no way to kind of get into it and figure out. So there's no file system. They hide the file system from you. You don't have access to it. This might be the best way to at least take a look at it. Let me see how much Awesome Files is. It's 99 cents. That is one of the good news things about this is that at least the apps are cheap, right? $5, $4, a buck. So you can try some things out. Good luck, Jeff. I think you're close. I really do. I think you're close. Leonard in Santa Clarita, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Big time, long time fan from way up in Canada when I used to listen to you every weekend. And I'm pretty much versed in it. My first introductions were into computers, were punching cardboard cards to feed them so we could print an address book double-sided back in high school.
Wow.
So, that's really old school.
Yeah. And those are the cards that they said do not fold, spindle, or mutilate.
Yeah, and you had to have them in the right order.
Yeah, one mistake and boom, you got to start over again with your card stack. That's good. That's a good discipline.
And you had to learn DOS, and you had to, you know, understand what you were doing.
Right.
So I've kind of upgraded and done everything. I recently purchased Galaxy 2 Skyrocket about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a week ago, AT&T sent me a text and said that there was an operating system update and you could update it to ice cream sandwich from Gingerbread.
Oh, awesome.
So in order to do that, you had to download the program on Keys. You had to download Keys and then download the update and then hardwire your phone into the laptop.
What? Wait a minute. Was this an official update?
Yeah, this was...
This isn't a root exploit. This is an actual official... Who's the carrier on that?
AT&T.
Oh, you're right. Keys. That stupid Samsung thing. You're right. I remember now they require that, don't they? Hang on. We'll see if we can help. Leo Laporte. Oh, I hate Keys. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
I'd unravel every riddle.
A little Wizard of Oz there. Leo Laporte, the tech. I was talking with somebody. Remember now, see, you have to be of a certain age to remember this. I was talking with somebody yesterday, a friend of mine. And she was saying, remember when, before VCRs, the Wizard of Oz was on once a year at Thanksgiving time, right? And that was the only time you could see it. Nobody had a way to watch it other than that. You guys are even old enough to remember that? Because you're young. So I guess it wasn't that long ago. 20 years ago. When did the VCRs say? I guess the late 80s they started to become widespread. So that was it. In those days, I think kids today have no idea. And it really brought home the fact that if you think about it, if you have an Apple TV or a Roku or even the video on demand from your cable company, but if you've added some internet access to your television, you can pretty much watch anything anytime. And the idea that you have to wait till next Thanksgiving to watch a movie. It's crazy. It's crazy talk. It's really changed how we think of content. And it just happened for somebody of my age anyway, practically overnight. So kids, in the old days, if you wanted to watch your Wizard of Oz, remember Danny Kaye would introduce it and he'd say, wait now, just a word of warning here. This movie starts out in black and white, and then it goes to color, just so you know. He had to warn you ahead of time. They probably, you know, in some ways, maybe it was a better show because you only saw it once a year. Now I've got the Blu-ray DVD. I can watch it anytime I want. I never watch it. So, maybe we have gained nothing. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. We've been talking, we're talking to Leonard in Santa Clarita, California.
Okay.
Before we get to that, I just want to say we've got in the studio today, RJ, and he did some tests on his iPad, And I'm actually, RJ, try it with iPhoto. I think iPhoto, if you have a photo that you've imported with a camera connection kit, you can export it to the camera roll and move it over there. But if not, he says that there is at least one application, Snapfish, that you could download. It's an iPhone-only application, but it works fine on the iPad. And it will see anything you've imported from the camera connection kit and upload it for printing later. Snapfish is one of those, you know, like Shutterfly, and there are a lot of companies like that that will do printing for you. All right. Sorry, Leonard. Go ahead.
Okay. So upgrading my system, everything worked fine. And the neat thing was on my phone, I have Keys Air. So I can leave my phone on the other side of the room, and I can see what I have on my phone.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Keys is a Samsung program they put on the Galaxy phones. AT&T, I've always thought this is a little weird because, you know, in other companies, you'll do an over-the-air upgrade. But AT&T still requires you to download the update, probably to save bandwidth, onto your computer and then copy it over using that Samsung app, Keys, K-I-E-S.
And data charges, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's probably why they do it. But it's kind of a pain. But it worked, right?
Yeah, it brought forward. Yeah, absolutely. And
okay.
My phone is faster and more versatile.
Oh,
than my
yeah.
Mind.
Oh, I love ice cream sandwich. I love jelly bean. I think the newer Androids are fantastic. You know, I've never used Keys Air. I'm looking at my Galaxy S3. I've got it, of course.
Right.
So it lets you play over the Wi-Fi, play videos from your phone to your TV. Is that what you're doing?
No. What I want to do is I have a Sony XBR6, which is a decent TV.
Yeah.
There's no wireless connectivity. What I would like to do is now I'm running Windows XP, believe it or not, and it's fine, and I've never had to upgrade because I don't use my laptop that often, just basically for, you know, surfing and printing.
Right.
And what I would love to do is to be able to watch my videos on my TV from my phone.
Yes. Wouldn't we all love to do that? And there are ways and ways to do that. The problem is your TV doesn't know anything about any of these ways to do that.
Right.
More modern TVs, when you buy them, will include something called DLNA, the Digital Living Network Alliance or something like that, DLNA. And many phones, including your phone, have DLNA built in. So if you had a television that supported it, you could play back videos, anything, I think, from your phone. And connect it to your TV. So what you need to do is get a device that you connect to the TV that supports DLNA.
Right, and Sony sells one like for $70.
Yeah, a lot of companies do. Western Digital, also the WDTV does that. I think the Boxy might do that. There are a lot of devices that'll do that.
Now, if I go to that to like Roku or one of those,
Roku does not do DLNA.
Good.
And this is where Apple really has stolen a jump on everybody else because they have something they call AirPlay and AirShare, and that's basically the same thing. But you have to have an iPhone and you have to have an Apple TV to do it.
Now, the Samsung has AllShare, which I guess is an offshoot of that.
Yeah, that's DLNA.
Yeah, so I would have to get...
You need some DLNA device to connect to your TV. And then this is what everybody's doing with Roku, Boxy, Apple TV. They're connecting the network to their television. They're giving their television an internet connection. And sometimes it's stuff, you know, from the internet, like Netflix. But you could also, if it supports DLNA, be stuff locally from your phone.
Now, is it possible to do this via Bluetooth?
Not Bluetooth. It's not fast enough. But you could also, I think on the Galaxy S2, you can get a HDMI cable.
Yeah, hardwired. Yeah.
So the USB, and a lot of phones have this, but you have to check to make sure. But it's a special kind of USB port on that Galaxy S2 that can, with the appropriate cable, be turned into HDMI, which you could then just plug into your TV.
Yeah, I've seen those. They're like $10. So
yeah, that's another way to do it. Check and make sure that your Galaxy S2 has that kind of connector.
Okay, thanks, Leo.
You're welcome. This is we're in the infancy of all of this. Any new TV you buy, certainly all the Samsung TVs will support this. Any new TV you buy will probably have both Ethernet and Wi-Fi built into it. Support for DLNA built into it. It won't have support for Apple's protocol because it's Apple. You know, but it would have support for the standard protocols like DLNA that would let you. It's very cool. I mean, if you have an Apple iPad, for instance, and an Apple TV, I just press a button on the iPad and wirelessly I'm seeing what's on the iPad on my big screen TV. It's very cool. It's kind of amazing. The first time I saw that, I went, wow. Wow. But this is all new. And of course, you've got to have all the parts working together. And that's therein lies the trick. Carol is in Los Angeles, our next caller. Hi, Carol. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question regarding cell phones. I have an Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they just upgraded me to ice cream sandwich. And
aren't you excited?
Oh, yes.
You don't sound excited. Well, that's how you know if you're a geek or not. Geeks get excited about the least little upgrade. Normal people go, oh, no.
I am a little excited. The problem is
so you're a little bit of a geek, Carol. Hey, hang on. We're going to take a break. That magic music tells me we're almost out of time in this segment. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we can finish up. Thank you, Carol. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Carol from Los Angeles, you have your nice ice cream sandwich on your new Android phone. What could possibly have gone wrong?
The question I'm having is, and I understand it is a problem, I can't watch a video that requires Flash.
Right.
And there doesn't, is there anything I can do to be able to do that?
Well, the problem comes from Adobe, which has discontinued Flash for mobile devices.
That's correct. I think they said they were supposed to support this version, but after that, no longer.
Yeah, this is the last one. So, did you have Flash on the phone before you put ice cream sandwich on there?
Oh, yes. I've reinstalled
and
it.
And it's now gone, huh? It won't play?
Yeah. Won't come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, truthfully, this is where we want to go. And Apple started this, and rightly so, with the iPhone and then the iPad, neither of which support Flash. And so most websites, including YouTube and all the Flash-heavy websites, most websites have by now found an alternative to Flash because, hey, you don't want to leave out everybody using an iPhone or an iPad and now or an Android. So yeah. Flash is dead. The problem is there's still plenty of websites who haven't realized it, have they?
Well, I guess maybe I'm trying to do CPR.
So it's a particular site you want to use?
You know, some YouTube videos I can watch, some I can't.
Yeah.
I browse onto a site. Let's say I want to watch a TV show.
Yeah.
Some I can, some I can't.
You know, you should use the YouTube app, of course, and that should let you get to everything.
I actually am using the YouTube app.
Ah, and you still can't.
That's correct.
You know, you might try... let's see. I'm looking at the chat room, and I'm trying to figure out what they recommend. I just don't use Flash. I try not to use Flash. Something called, is that for the Android, iSwifter? I don't think that's for Android.
Actually, my phone is a Motorola, and it's the...
It's a Droid.
Razr.
Droid Razr.
I'm under warranty. I'm almost thinking of changing in the device.
Just because you can't run Flash? Wow. All right, well, I'm going to put a link in the chat room. There is a website called Android Advices. Terrible name.
Okay.
AndroidAdvices.com that has what's called a side load method of loading Flash onto your phone. Instead of, you can't download it from the Play Store anymore, but you can do a side load. So let me give you the, well, I hope that that's, I got this from the chat room. You know, this is really the issue, is that Adobe doesn't even want you to do this anymore.
I understand.
And you have been to the Play Store and tried to install I know I can't. I thought you could still... Go ahead.
I've got the version 11 on my phone. Oh. I do have...
Oh, well, you have Flash then.
Yeah.
So what's the issue?
It doesn't work.
Oh, you're worried about the future?
No, it just doesn't work. I'd love it to work.
Oh, it doesn't work. Well... Not sure. It doesn't work on some of your sites, in other words.
That's correct. Yeah. I'm almost thinking of going back to my old operating system if there's a way to do that.
And what browser are you using?
Well, I've used the stock browser. I've used Dolphin. I've used...
I'm puzzled. I'm very puzzled. Do you want to give me one of the sites you're trying to use?
Sure. Let's use ABC.com and going on and watching any one of the TV shows.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of these TV companies, they just really don't understand the internet at all. Okay, ABC.go.com. And I'm doing this on my Samsung Galaxy phone. You want to watch a full episode? Let's see. What do we got? The Bachelorette, Revenge, or Rookie Blue? Well, I don't have a lot of choices, but let's go to Rookie Blue. See if this will play on my Galaxy S3. Yeah, I get the same thing. It says it requires Flash Player 10.1. I have 11, of course. Click here to get the latest version of Flash. These sites are not mobile-enabled, I think, is the real issue. ABC, for instance, wants you to use the ABC app. I'm sorry. I mean, this is just a nightmare situation. Going back to a different version or an older phone or a different phone in the long run is not going to help you, because what's happening here is a transition. And I just, I think this one is that ABC is blocking it. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I don't have a good answer for you. If you absolutely have to watch Flash, I guess you could go backwards. ABC, CBS, NBC, they just don't want mobile Flash, period.
No problem. I was puzzled that I had problems with YouTube as well. So.
YouTube should work. YouTube should not have a problem. There is a browser called Skyfire that does something unusual. It will work sometimes when nothing else will. It converts the Flash on their side into something that'll play.
That didn't work.
Didn't work either. Well, that
I have
then,
that on my phone now too.
Then what's happening is those people are blocking.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't want you to watch on a mobile. And I know that the networks do that. YouTube should work just fine. YouTube knows about this issue. In fact, YouTube's run by Google, which makes Android. And their goal is to move everybody off of Flash, too. The reason, you know, Steve Jobs wrote a long letter, which they posted on the Apple website. He says, and it's not just because I hate Adobe. I'm paraphrasing. It's not just because I hate Adobe. He does, or did. It's because Flash is a pig. It's got, it really slows things down. It's got all sorts of security issues. It's just not the right way to run things. And there are better ways out there. The problem is we're in the kind of transition phase right now. Sorry to say. I wish I had a better answer for you, Carol. You're not alone. This is what happened. I couldn't run an ABC video either. But there are apps. You know, I think that's the other thing. And this, I find this very frustrating, but a lot of companies want you to move to their mobile apps. They don't want you to use the website, probably because they can track you better, things like that. So in those cases, you know, get Hulu's app or ABC's app. Jay in Orange County, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well, Jay. How are you?
Doing excellent. Had a question. The new Galaxy, the Nexus 7, the Google tablet.
Yeah, I love it.
I know it's great. Is it necessary to download antivirus software on there?
You know, this is a hotly debated topic. There is malware on these devices, not commonly, but every once in a while, and it's usually something like the most recent one was a Russian company, but it was only available in the Russian Google Play Store, so you wouldn't have seen it unless you're in Russia. I think you're probably all right without malware, but there's a good free program that I tend to put on my Android devices just because it's free and why not. It's called Lookout, and you can find it in the Play Store or go to mylookout.com to know more. It just scans your downloads. Keeps an eye on things. It's a belt and suspenders. It's kind of a good thing to have. I would not get McAfee or any of the real, you know, full-blown antiviruses. I think Lookout's all you really need. And it gives you a little bit more of a sense of security. So, yeah, Jay, I would get that. Scott in Alabama, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Scott. Hello, Scott. He wanted to ask about the Slingbox Pro versus the Monsoon Blast or the Monsoon Blast.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Scott. Now you got to hang on because I got to take a break. But we'll get to you next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Stay tuned.
His little lost love
lay asleep on the hillside, and his heart was heavy as night.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number to call. Scott in Alabama has been hanging on. Hey, Scott, thanks for your patience. What can I do for you?
Hey, I'm looking at the Slingbox Pro versus the Monsoon Blast.
Yes.
The thing that was concerning me about the Monsoon Blast is it's near HD video quality.
Yeah, near, yeah. Near could be anything.
That's what I'm wondering, near.
So I have a couple of disclaimers. First, Slingbox is a sponsor of some of our podcasts. Second, I have not used the Monsoon. But the chat room did point me to a PC Magazine review of the Monsoon, in which they gave it 3 out of 5 stars, saying it was a jack of all trades, master of none, and buggy. So I would say that's a recommendation against it. Belkin is also making a device now that will let you do the same. All three of these devices, the idea is you connect them to your home theater. It's kind of like the flip-flop of a Roku box, for instance. You connect this to your home theater and to your internet. And then when you're out and about, you can log into them from the internet and see what's on your DVR, see what's on your cable or satellite. Sometimes you can even play back DVDs. So it's kind of a neat idea, especially if you've got an iPad or an Android tablet, because it gives you local TV. We have an engineer here we imported from Philadelphia, and he misses his Philadelphia local news. And I go over to his desk, and he's watching it on his Slingbox. He has a Slingbox in Philly, and he's watching his local news. So that's cool. So I do have experience with the Sling. The Sling works great. I've never had any trouble with it. If you have enough bandwidth at home and where you are, it is very close to HD. It's certainly it's good quality. You know, it's streaming, so it's going to never be quite HD.
Right. I'm not worried about that because my data plans are unlimited, so that's not an issue at all.
It's speed, but it does relate to, and this is something people don't think about much, you're uploading now from your house, right? So what is the upstream? You never look at that when you get an internet plan at home. You get what's the downstream. Oh, it's 20 megabits down. But what is it up? Because that's what you're using when you're using something like this. You're using your upstream bandwidth from your house. So if you have enough speed, you know, it'll work. It just gets better quality video as the speed is increased.
The advantage of the Monsoon was able to record directly to it and take what's recorded
yeah.
directly on it and transfer to the iPad.
Right, which I think the Belkin does that too, which I think is very neat. So,
that's
something the Slingbox does not do.
Right, and the Belkin is like Belkin peripherals, right? It makes the KDM.
Yeah. Belkin is an interesting company. They don't make anything. What they do is they find cool products in Taiwan, Korea, Japan, and they slap their name on it and they sell it. I haven't tried the Belkin either. I think this is great that you're seeing this variety of choices. It'll also bring prices down. The Slingbox is fairly expensive. The Slingbox doesn't record on the device, but it will. You can set DVR recordings and then watch it.
Yeah, what concerned me about the Slingbox is not being able to transfer from the Slingbox to the iPad and then having to buy all the apps for all the
right.
devices.
The apps are expensive. You have $30 for the iPad app.
Where the Monsoon, all the apps are a free download.
Right. Yeah, I bet you the Monsoon is actually the same as the Belkin. I bet you this is two different companies who put their name on a device. Slingbox has been around the longest, you know, because of that, their software is stable, not buggy. They got a lot of people using it. So it's still, I would say probably, not having tried these Belkin and Volcano devices, I would guess still the best. But it is expensive. It is more expensive. So, you know, you want to be a guinea pig, please call me back and let me know.
I may try the
Do they have a good return policy? That's the question. As long as you can return it, I wouldn't worry.
Yeah. The main thing is I don't have enough bandwidth going up because I'm stuck on DSL.
Yeah. See, then you're going to be sorry. If you have 128K up or 256K up, don't do this. You need a lot of bandwidth.
So I've got plenty of bandwidth within the house. Got a 16-port switch here.
Yeah, that's in the house. So I guess if you're just wandering around the house, that's all right.
Yeah, poor old guy came to repair the DSL, saw the switch, and just freaked out and said, I don't know what to do.
So Belkin's device, which I suspect is the same, although they don't look quite the same, is called the AtTV Plus Media Streamer. And it has, because the features are so similar, that's why I'm thinking it might be just a rebadged Monsoon. I do like the idea that you could use their software to record on your device. But, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, we can do this. It's another thing to actually do it and do it reliably. It's less expensive. The apps are less expensive. In fact, they're free, I think, on the Belkin. I would imagine the same on the Monsoon. But, you know, because these are new, I'd probably wait until you see more reviews before you spend money. And absolutely, if you want to do this on the road and you don't have good, you know, you probably, to do this reliably on the road, you'd want 512 kilobits up, half a megabit up at least. And if you get a megabit up, then you can see almost HD quality. It really is dependent on that. Bandwidth upstream, not downstream. Remember, you got two numbers when you get the quote on the bandwidth. There's the downstream, which is usually anywhere from 5 to 20 megabits. And then there's the upstream, which on DSL is sometimes 128 kilobits. That's not enough. 256, 384. 384 would be the absolute minimum. And what you really want is a megabit up. Some cable modems, Fios, things like that will give you that kind of speed. Then they work great. And I guess Sling has reduced the price of the Slingbox app for the iPad to $15. That's a lot better. 30 was a little steep. 15, that's not so bad. Not so painful. Andrew, St. Louis, Missouri. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. How you doing, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, we met you, I think, a couple of years ago at the last Macworld that Apple was involved with.
Oh, yeah, in the good old days. I remember that.
Yeah. Hey, the question I have has to do with the operating system for Macs. And we have not upgraded to Lion. We've got, more or less a whole suite of Apple products, MacBook Pro, Mac Mini, iPhone, iPod Touches, iPad, Apple TV, and I want to be able to use iCloud.
Yeah, so you got to upgrade.
Right, so I'm going to have to upgrade. At the moment, I haven't done it yet because I think similar to one of your other questioners, you were kind of saying, well, why don't you just wait until Mountain Lion comes out?
Mountain Lion's going to be $20 even if you've not upgraded to Lion, if you're still on Snow Leopard.
Right.
It goes through the Apple Store. As long as you can get to the App Store on your Mac, you just do it. And $20 for every computer in the house. I do think this is a worthwhile upgrade, not just for iCloud, which is significant, but also for Gatekeeper, a much improved security model, which will make the Macintosh the most secure computer out there.
Yeah.
Now, as always, with an operating system upgrade, people have problems. I didn't have any problems with Lion, but I guess some people did. I expect some people will also have problems with Mountain Lion. So what I would probably do is take $20, do it on one machine, see how it works.
Right.
Now, one thing to know about Mountain Lion is it is not going to work on all Macs. In fact, it's going to not work on Macs, some Macs that are not even 3 years old yet.
Correct. That's the problem I have, is I've got a MacBook Pro that's 1 year old and it'll run fine.
Right.
I've got a Mac Mini, which is a couple years older.
It won't work on that.
It won't run on Lion. So do you think it's fine if Lion on the Mac Mini?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was really my concern.
Yeah. No, go ahead. In the Apple world, I think it's always best to use the most recent version of the operating system. Unless you know, if you have compelling reasons why you don't want to do that, I think it's the best thing to do. You know, you've heard about a particular problem. I haven't heard a lot of problems. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Hour number three of the Tech Guy Show to help you make the most of your personal confuser. I guess your cell phone now could be your personal confuser. Even more personal, even more confusing. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536, toll free from anywhere in the U.S., you got a question, a comment, a suggestion. Let's say hi to Joe in Chickatauga, New York. Hello, Joe. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Mr. Laporte. Happy Pi Approximation Day.
Wait a minute. Pi Approximation Day?
Yeah, if you write the day first and then the month, it would be 22/7, which is approximately pi.
Now, people are just using any excuse to eat pie now. That's just going too far. Pie approximation day, 22/7. I love it.
Well, anyhow, I have
Are you a high school math teacher, Joe?
Oh, no, I haven't been in high school in a long time.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Okay, I have an Android tablet, running 2.3.4, and the people that sold it to me, or the people that make it, kind of dumb. They didn't partition it, so you have plenty of room for your applications, so I've been installing most of my applications on the micro SD card.
Who makes this device?
Pan Digital.
Those are the cheapest. They're very inexpensive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's better than the tiny Palm I used to have. But, well, here's what I'm having a problem with. I install most of the stuff on the SD card, but if I don't like it, I'll uninstall it, and the weirdest things tends to happen. It gets into this kind of no man's land state where partially unmounts the SD card, but if I go to remove it, it says, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You prematurely removed your card.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean,
I would do, and I think is probably your best bet, is to root that device and put a better ROM on it. Go get a Cyanogen mod ROM for it. You could put something more up to date. It'll work better. It'll be smart. Those are so cheap. I don't think they're very well engineered. You know, Pan Digital stuff, we're talking $100 for a tablet. I don't know what the answer is, but this is actually a good thing to do with any Android device is root it. And if you go to the place to go to find out if you can, and chances are you can, is xda-developers.com. Search their device database. Go to the forums and search the device database for that particular Pan Digital, and you'll probably get instructions for how to root it, which means how to give yourself administrative access to the thing. And then you could put a Clockwork Mod on there and put different ROMs on there and find one that you like that works better. I think you'd be much happier with somebody else's software than Pan Digital's. I don't think they put a lot of thought into it. Justin, Prescott, Arizona, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I really appreciate your time and your help. The reason why I'm calling is I'm mostly blind, but I still use the Android Razer.
Mm-hmm. And
my wife and I both have the same exact phone, and hers updated to the ICS last week. And my phone is wanting to update, but the problem I'm having is I use Zoom mode, which has like a 2-inch square magnifier on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and the new ICS does not have the magnifier on the screen.
Oh, no. They took it out?
Yeah, I talked to Verizon, and unfortunately, this is something that's not very common. So the first few people I talked to had no idea. I finally talked to someone yesterday who said they'll put something in the in their notes and, you know, might get an answer in a week or two and, call back. But my cousin has an iPhone, and he has an on-screen magnifier. And so I know these exist.
Oh, yeah. Well, iPhone has very good, they call this accessibility. And the accessibility features on the iPhone are very, very good. I'm surprised. I don't think, that doesn't sound right, that Google would take a step back in accessibility.
Yeah, and that's what they said. That, when I first talked to them, they said that there's absolutely no way to do it. And so, keep looking forward. And then they said, the chances are they'll, an update in a day or two, they'll put it back on. And
It probably isn't Google, by the way, or Android. It's probably Verizon or Motorola that did it. Most likely Verizon, because it's their phone. And they decide what to push out, and maybe they left it out. It just doesn't seem right to take out accessibility features. You put them in, you don't take them out.
Exactly. And then, in fact, when I talked to them, they went through the list of all the things that ICS updates and what it removes and what it puts in, and they don't even list the ones that they took out. So,
I don't, you know, I don't know the answer to this. It's, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm glad you raised the issue. I just don't know why. This is another case, kind of like the last caller. So Android, to understand what's going on here, Android, which was not developed at Google, was actually developed outside of Google. Google acquired the company, and it's kind of run not entirely by Google, but by something called the Open Handset Alliance. It's open software. It's based on Linux, and it's Java. And the Open Handset Alliance kind of manages all this. What happens is that a new version of Android is created in conjunction with Google engineers and the OHA. And then that is offered to the phone manufacturers and the carriers, who then modify it, because each phone has its own kind of little, you know, gloss on Android. There's no, you know, the only standard Android phones are ones offered by Google. They call that the true Google experience. And you often get bugs added. You sometimes get nice features added. I think Samsung's Touch Wiz 4 is quite good. So is HTC's additions. I'm not crazy about Motorola Blur and what Motorola's done. Of course, Motorola is now owned by Google. That may start to change. In fact, the Motorola phones, the Droids, may end up being the Google Experience phones going forward. But for now, it's whatever Motorola and Verizon decided to do with Android. And there's really nothing that Google can do about it. And I would guess that this is something that either was a mistake on Verizon's part or something they did on purpose. You never want to take out accessibility features. That's not the point. You really want to put more in, not take them out. Now, there are other apps, third-party apps, that might solve this problem. Byron in our chat room is suggesting an app that you could, Google Android app helps blind smartphone users. We'll put this in the show notes. Is this an app or is it a version? Yeah, it's an app that lets you, well, this is more like a screen reader. I think he wants it's called Georgie. I think he wants a magnifier. But anyway, it might be worth looking at. Georgie is the name of that. I would think they're third-party magnifiers. I just don't know, you know. The Ultra Magnifier, says Wordsworth, is a good one. You don't want to take those out. And I have to say, Microsoft, Apple, and Google have all worked very hard to make their stuff more accessible. So it surprises me that they'd go backwards. Charlie El Paso, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Leo, your screener's super.
Yes.
Hey, we're an archive that publishes books.
Okay.
And when the text illustrations are composed, we turn them over to a designer for a final layout. But she's 300 miles away.
Yeah.
And the copy still needs some detailed modifications, which she'll do at her end. And I need to watch her screen and answer her questions about those changes.
Oh, how fun.
I don't want to control it.
Yeah, just want to see what she's doing and chat with her.
Yeah, that's it. Now, we've looked into VNC.
I would try Google Docs.
Okay.
Real-time editing, chat by the side. We use it all the time. It's free. I love it. Google Docs. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
One shot. One opportunity.
Let it go. Let it go.
Digits of the number pi. One moment. Would you capture it or just let it slip? His palms are sweaty, knees weak, head is heavy. The numbers cloud his vision already. Keep it steady. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to recite. But it's not quite upsetting that he's froze now, and the whole crowd knows he vowed to get it perfect. But the numbers won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's joking now. A 3.15? Whoops, kablow! Snap back to reality. Oh, it's a malady. Oh, it's so random.
That is a nerdy Eminem, I'll tell you.
That easy, no. He won't have it, he knows. All his fans really hope he can shatter the global world record of phony 2000.
3.14159.
When it's back to the learning bar.
2, 5, 1, 5, 9, 6, 5, 3, 5, 8, 9, 7, 3, 2, 3, 8, 4, 6, 2, 6, 4, 3. This is Pi Approximation Day. We learned something, didn't we? 888-88-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. To Temecula we go. Neil is next. Hi, Neil. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Neil.
Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you?
For about the past 3 years plus, I've had an Envy phone, and I love it with a QWERTY board and a touch front.
Right.
But I'm about to where I have to upgrade to a smartphone, and I was wondering what Android phone you might recommend that has a QWERTY board.
You really want a physical keyboard, huh?
Well, I'm kind of hard on my kids about using real English, and I find it touchpad. I shortcut, and it's hard for me to be hard on it.
You can't yell at them anymore. What carrier? Are you Verizon?
Correct.
So there are a couple of Verizons that continue to have physical keyboards. My experience has been, unfortunately, that as time goes by, the physical keyboard phones are not quite as up-to-date as the big-screen virtual keyboards. I'm not sure why that is. Let me just look real quickly through. Is it the Droid 4 is the new one? I think it's the new one is the Droid 4 that still has a physical keyboard. And that's not a bad phone. I am not a Droid fan, but Verizon really pushes those as their...
I know they have a Samsung that has a board on it. And last week you were recommending two Android that you really like.
I love the Galaxy S2, but it is not a physical keyboard. It's a virtual keyboard, S3, I should say. I think the Droid 4 is the most up-to-date physical keyboard. It does support 4G, which is really nice.
But you'd recommend me breaking the habit.
Well, I hate to make you break a habit that you like. I was the same way. I went from a BlackBerry Curve to the first iPhone, and I was very skeptical. But after a while, you kind of get used to it. You get used to it. You know, one thing you could look at is a Galaxy Note, which is a giant 5-plus-inch screen. It's so big that it's like a tablet that the keyboard, even though it is virtual, is easy to type on. But, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that, you know, forces you to do what I do. So... I think that what happens is that it's not as hard to use the on-screen keyboard as you think. You get used to it, and it's pretty good. It has some advantages over a physical keyboard. The device is lighter, thinner. You can program that virtual keyboard to do some interesting things. I use a keyboard called Swipe that lets me, instead of tapping out letters, draw a word by moving my finger, sliding my finger from letter to letter, and it's very, very accurate, very fast. But again, that's just my preference. So I think the chat room is pretty much in consensus on Verizon. The best physical keyboard is the Droid 4. That's pretty recent, pretty up to date. Maybe go to a Verizon store and just tap around a little bit. I think the predictive capabilities of these on-screen keyboards, the ability to have, you know, things like swipe, kind of make it, preferable. But that's just me. That's just me. Rachel, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thank you. I'm 20 years old. It's a two-part question.
Okay.
With me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Europe. I'm going to Sweden and the UK, leaving in about 3 weeks for a college summer abroad program.
Oh, that's so great. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's why it's a two-part question. The first thing is people are telling me to get an iPad and take instead of my, you know, my laptop. And then I have my concern about my iPhone with what to do when I get over to Europe. So the iPad, there's a brand new one for $4.99. And there's
You have a laptop, right?
Yeah, but it's heavy and I really can't.
Oh, you want something light. I get it.
Yeah, and I'm only a college kid. I don't have that much money.
Right.
I don't even have that much money. So I have a good friend that says, oh, you got to get the brand new one.
No. Now, Rachel, what do you do with this? What are you going to do? Are you going to use it for schoolwork, or is it more just to kind of, you know, send email and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. I'm taking a genetics course in Europe, but I will be using it probably for school, for email. Yeah.
So I got to tell you, I like tablets a lot. They are light, but I don't think they're ideal for schoolwork. I mean, if you're doing heavy schoolwork, writing papers and things like that, tapping on a glass keyboard is not desirable to say the least, not for any length of time. For a little light typing, surfing, email, the iPad's fine. But I think using it for schoolwork, I would just bite the bullet and bring that big laptop with you.
Oh, it's so heavy. So what you're saying is an iPad would be okay for, like, not for heavy duty.
Well, yeah. Now, if you're going to, okay, so here's another alternative. You could get an iPad. Yep, $500. If you wanted to get 3G, it's more. But given that you're going to Europe, probably you shouldn't get 3G. Just use the Wi-Fi. And then Logitech makes something called the ultra-thin keyboard case for the iPad. It's another $100, but it gives you a physical keyboard. In fact, when you put the iPad into the slot, it kind of looks like a laptop. And in that case, I think it would probably be a pretty adequate analog to a notebook. I mean, I would prefer to see you bring a MacBook Air, but that's $1,000. And as you say, funds are limited.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't have wealthy people in my life. But there's an older one, an iPad, a brand new one, and an older one. Which if I get the iPad with the ultra-thin...
The older one, you save how much? Not much. $50, right?
I think it's $100.
$100, all right. Yeah, and I would... I mean, that's that. Then you could buy the keyboard, and the older one is fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then what do I do with my iPhone? I was trying to pay attention when you were...
Yeah, so there's two choices. One, you can pay AT&T for international travel, but how long are you going to be there?
Altogether, about 6.5 weeks.
Yeah, that's a long time. I would say what you'll probably do, you said Sweden and where else, England?
UK, yeah.
UK. When you get to the UK, you can buy a SIM card from Vodafone or O2 that you put into the iPhone that gives you an English phone number and unlimited data, very affordable, much more affordable than paying AT&T for it.
Okay.
And I would guess, although I don't know for sure, I would guess the same thing is available in Sweden. Pretty much everywhere you can do that. You get a SIM card for that country with unlimited data, and it's usually very affordable, Rachel. Rachel, have a great trip. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo is the number. Cliff is in Virginia. Hi, Cliff. Leo Laporte here. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Cliff.
That's Chris, actually.
Chris, sorry.
I've been watching you since the Tech TV days.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
I recently had some sort of Trojan virus that's, I guess, associated with Java.
Uh-huh.
It disabled my Windows Firewall, my Defender, and my Security Essentials.
Gee, you'd think that those things would have caught it and stopped it instead of just passively saying, "You got us, disable us." That's too bad. That's not the right response. Okay, we give up. You win. Oh boy! All right. So, how'd you get rid of it?
I looked online though, but I didn't really. I think it didn't really help, though. So then I reinstalled Windows.
Yeah, that's then, the truth is you did the right thing. You can try to uninstall individual malware infections, but there's a couple of things to be aware of. First of all, how do you know you're okay? There's really no way to be sure. And second of all, if you got one virus, you probably have more than one. So best thing to do, in my opinion, and every security expert I've ever talked to says this is the best. The only really way to be sure is to format the drive and start fresh from a known good copy of Windows. And that's what
you
did.
You know,
it's really slow, huh?
Well, when I first reinstalled, though, the Windows update would take forever to update, though. And the same thing happened when I had a Windows XP before. When I reinstalled, it acted all slow. Hmm. I don't know what could be the problem.
I don't know either. That shouldn't. In fact, most of the time, most people's experience is things get faster. Make sure you run all those Windows updates. Make sure you got the latest version of Windows on there. And it should be faster. Now, make sure, you know, good point. Razlak in the chat room has a very good point. You probably don't have the official hardware drivers on there. You're probably using generic drivers that came with Windows. So after you do a reinstall of Windows, it's always a good idea to go to the manufacturer's website and make sure you've got their latest drivers for the motherboard, for the video card, for anything they offer. Download those and install them. If the system's slower, that would make sense. It's because you have a incompatible or out-of-date driver. Get the latest driver. The system should be faster because you've eliminated everything that's slowing it down, including that malware. Blake in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Hey, Blake, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I'm a regular viewer of the Twit Network. You do
Thank
great
you.
Work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I am back ordered for a Nexus 7. Got my order in, but at this point, they can't even give me a date on when I'll
Yeah,
get.
The Google underestimated the demand for the Nexus 7.
Exactly. So I also have a Sling Player, and you mentioned earlier the Sling Player apps, the mobile apps are all on sale right now for $15 instead of the normal $30 price.
Good deal. That makes it a lot more affordable.
The problem is the sale ends tonight.
Oh. So
tomorrow they all go back to $30.
Oh.
My question is, how do I purchase the tablet version of Sling Player now at the $15 price so that I can put it on my Nexus 7 when I get it?
No problem. Go to play.google.com. And you have no Android devices at all.
I have an Android phone on there.
All right. You can buy it. I see that you don't have the tablet. That's an interesting question. What if I...
No.
Yeah, let me just see.
When I tried doing it, and it told me I don't have any compatible devices.
Oh, that's frustrating. That's very interesting. How do you... That's a really good question. So
yeah.
If you don't have a compatible device...
You know, if it were an iPad, I could buy it in iTunes
right.
on my computer. But it doesn't look like Android will let you do that.
I'm on the Google Play Store, and of course, if you log out of your Google account and try to buy it, will it let you do that? Maybe not, huh?
It makes me log in.
Yeah, it says, well, you can't buy something until you log in.
Right.
Wow. Okay, this is crazy, but it is one way to, you could do this. Ingyald in the chat room says, you could install the Android SDK and create a virtual tablet device, register it with Google, and then you'd be able to buy it.
Wow.
That sounds like a long way to go to save $15. But it is, you're basically installing an Android emulator with a tablet on it. How interesting. I think that's kind of a bug in the way the Play Store works. Maybe it's by intent. I don't know. It seems like a bug. You cannot buy software. They're trying to protect you, of course. You cannot buy software that you don't have hardware that works with it. But you'd like to buy it now because it's on sale right now.
Right. A gift like you can in iTunes?
Ah, that's an interesting idea. Maybe you could do that. Yeah, give a gift certificate. I just don't know. You know what I would do is I'd email Sling and explain the story to him and say, can I get a deal down the road? And I bet you they'd do it.
Okay, I'll try that.
That's a really, I've never thought of that, but it's a good point. I think probably Google never thought about that. They said, well, this is good, right? We shouldn't let people buy apps they can't install. They're wasting their money. So they think it's a feature. Windows 7 Ultimate in our chat room says, go to Best Buy, go over to the tablets, log into one of the tablets as if it's into your Google account, buy the app, then log out. Because one of the advantages of the Play Store is once you've bought an app, you can download it free forever. That'll work. That'll work. Go log in on an Android tablet somewhere. Just register it and log out, and it'll be part of your Play Store from then on. We have some real hackers in the chat room. They can get around any limitation. Good luck, Blake. I think you're going to like that Nexus 7 once you can get it. I really have to say this tablet surprised everybody. It's the Google offered it to their developers at Google I.O. for free, and they started selling it. And it sold so well, Google has actually discontinued sales of the 16-gigabyte model. They can't make any more for a while anyway. It's done very, very well. Really. I'm not surprised. I have one. I use it a lot. In fact, my friend M.G. Siegler, who is an iPad fanatic, I would have said fanboy, says he rarely picks up the iPad anymore. He plays with an Nexus 7 all the time. It's just a nice size, right? It's a little easier size. Ken in Michigan, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Leo. I'm so glad I'm talking to you right now.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got I've been for the last 7 years. I've been a photo and video professional, and I've been using Mac. I've been a dedicated Mac user, using Final Cut and things of that nature. But just a couple of things, real quick. Recently, Final Cut, you know, they've got a new version of it, but it's kind of more of like a iMovie. It's not really a
lot of Final Cut fans said it was dumbed down. Although they've been putting back features, it's gotten better.
Okay, that helps me out. Well, because one of the things that I'm trying to do is I'm in a position where I'm updating a lot of my equipment, and this is one of the things that I'm updating is the MacBook Pro that I have. I'm looking at buying a new one, but with all the features that CS6 is offering now, I'm also have opened my mind up to maybe going to PC. But then with the
shocking.
What do I do now? I mean, because if I go on a PC and then 8 comes out and I get CS6 on it and I don't like it, you know, things of that nature. So what are your thoughts?
We even looked at that, too. We use Final Cut for our editing here, and they took out one feature that we absolutely needed, the ability to read and write to a storage area network, a SAN drive.
Okay, yep.
And that killed us. So we're stuck with Studio. We can't upgrade to a Final Cut Pro X. And I did. I called Adobe, and I said, what kind of deal could you give us to put Premiere on our systems to move to Windows? Windows and machines are a lot less expensive. Hang on. We'll talk some more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Playing that for our intern, Eli. Hide your heart, girls. He's walking sideways, too. Ask Leo. Last few minutes of the Tech Guy Show, we were talking, and this is an interesting question for people who are in the video business. We were talking about Apple, which really kind of upset all the video editors I know. By taking Final Cut, which was, you know, had become the default choice in many ways in Hollywood, and dumbing it down, they lowered the cost considerably by $1,000. It's only $299 now, and you can buy it on the App Store for up to 5 different machines for that price. But it missed some key features. A lot of pros wanted. I talked to somebody, at the National Association of Broadcasters show, who said, rightly or wrongly, I'm the guy that got Hollywood to adopt Final Cut. He's a well-known video editor in Hollywood, does movies and commercials. He said, I was singing its praises, got everybody to adopt it, and now they're all leaving. They're all going back to Avid, which was the system used before that. Now, Avid still run on Macs, but they run on souped-up, weird Macs. I would not panic. I wouldn't worry yet. I think that Apple has slowly put back features in Final Cut. They understand it's important, but I do think that a lot of pro users on the Mac side who have been very loyal Macintosh users are increasingly embittered. Apple refuses to update its high-end professional hardware, the Mac Pro, does this with Final Cut. A lot of people feel kind of, you said a DTLA guy, they feel betrayed by a company that they switched allegiance to, and then the company decided that the money that was in consumer devices was in iPhones and iPads, and they seem to have kind of turned their back in some ways on the pro. They don't want to be in that business. We'll see. Tim Cook says we're going to have something really exciting for the pros in 2013. Oh, great. In 2013. Patricia, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Patricia.
Coming, boy. Lauren Ira wrote that. Love it.
Yeah, isn't that a great song? I didn't know Lauren Ira wrote that. Love her.
Yeah. Listen, I install Outlook on our little Dell laptop, mm-hmm. and I can only seem to run it as administrator. How can I change that? How can I give a user access?
When you installed it, you must have installed it as an administrator.
Yeah, I'm afraid I did.
I'd go back and reinstall it and make sure that when you install it for all accounts.
Okay.
I think it's a setting in the installer.
Okay, so I have to take it out and start over?
No, you don't have to take it out. Just install on top of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you could be able to. I think you should be able to do that. Chat room, install for all users in the reinstall. I don't think you'd have to uninstall it. And just make sure it says install for all users and you should be all right. If you install it only for the logged in administrator, then all the other users will have to log in as you.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know how I managed to do what I did.
Yeah, so. No, it's easy. You just move quickly and there you go.
Okay. Thank you, Leo.
Sure, Patricia. Anytime. Glad you called. Chip, Corona Del Mar, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
Hi.
I just got my first ever smartphone, a Droid Razr Max, and I've been putting Not 32 on all my customers' computers, my own, for years, so I went to ESET and got ESET Mobile Security.
Yeah.
And I paid for it. It's all taken care of, but it has this security thing, and it says that it wants to be made system administrator. And when you go into the settings for that, it comes up with all these warnings about erasing data, changing the screen unlock, password rules, and on and on and on. What do I do? Did I get the wrong thing?
No. But you understand that security professionals are paranoid. And you're just seeing an evidence of their paranoia. The truth is, and Not 32 and ESET are sponsors of the show, but in general, I don't put hardcore high-end antivirus software in there. It sounds like the one you got is an enterprise edition, which means it's for sysadmins at a company to install on all the Android phones in the company. And that's probably why you're seeing all of that. Sysadmins are used to it. It's normal. And you can walk through it and go right ahead and do it. But in general, I don't put any malware on my smartphones. The most I do is I mentioned this earlier in the show. I use a little free program called Lookout. I don't really think it's necessary. I really don't. But you paid for it. You might as well use it. You got it. Walk through it, and at least good news, it's ESET, so it won't slow your phone down. Alex in Pleasanton, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alex.
Hi. So I have an interesting story behind this question, first of all.
Okay, I only have 6 minutes, so...
I'll go fast. So anyway, I have a bad back. Hello?
Yeah.
I have a bad back, so my parents want me to get an e-reader for my college book.
Yes. You know, I look at high school kids with their 50-pound backpacks. I'm not surprised you have a bad back. That's ridiculous. I think your parents are very smart.
Mm-hmm. But the issue is, I don't know which one to get. I mean, I know the Nook. There's the Nook, the Kindle.
Well, the first thing I'd do, Alex, is do you know what college you're going to?
What?
Do you know what college you're going to?
Yes, I do.
I'd call them and find out about their textbooks. There may be recommendations because not all textbooks are available on all devices.
Okay.
So my favorite is the Kindle, and I would just get the $80 Kindle. It's inexpensive. If you lose it, it's not a huge deal. It's light as can be, and it's very convenient. But I'm not sure that all the textbooks you want are available at Amazon's Kindle store. In fact, I'd almost be certain they're not.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, textbook manufacturers.
I know the iPad has both applications for Nook and Kindle and the Apple Bookstore. Does that basically give me everything in one package?
Yeah, it's a good excuse to get an iPad, Alex.
Because I do have Apple computers at home, and I don't want to run the risk of having something not be compatible.
I think an iPad is a great choice. Also, the iBook store, they've really made an effort to get textbooks on it. In fact, Apple has a lot of deals that the others do not have with textbook companies. So getting an iPad gives you the most flexibility. You're exactly right. You can get anything you can get on the Kindle, you can get on the iPad. Anything you can get on the Nook, you can get on the iPad. And you get the iBook store and a lot of textbooks. That Apple's made deals with. So I would absolutely, this would be a good reason to get an iPad.
Now, my parents also keep trying to make me wait for the Surface tablet to come out, but like I said, I have an Apple, and I'm afraid it's not going to be compatible. Just go for the iPad anyway.
The Surface tablet, we don't know when. It's definitely after school starts. It's October at the earliest. We don't know what the price is. We don't know anything about it. In fact, Microsoft wouldn't even let journalists handle it. So it's made up right now. It's what we call vaporware in the business. It's not real. Maybe they're right, maybe not, but it's certainly crazy to wait for it.
So you say just go for the iPad?
Yeah, it'll be cheaper too.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good luck. What are you going to study?
Psychology.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations on graduating from high school and good luck for your college future.
Thank you very much.
That's nice. It's funny. I guess it's this time of year, but all weekend I've been talking to parents who are sending their kids to college, kids who are going to college. And they're getting so excited, and they all want to know, what should I bring? What should I bring? It's always a good idea, if you can, to call the bursar at the college for a couple of reasons. Find out what the standards are there, but also they may have student discounts you can't get elsewhere. So it's always a good idea to call the college and say, what should I bring? What should I bring? Hey, thanks for joining me. Have a great Geek Week. See you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Out of time. Thank you, friends. Come back next week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.